church over the years. We currently have some students there and on the staff, some people as well. And we have had over the years some alumni of the school or members of the church. So it's always a delight when we've had speakers or musical groups come up from Omaha. And we want to have a love offering for the singers, for the school. So at the close of the service, as God leads you, there are some small little manila envelopes. You can put an offering in there and simply put it in the offering box. If you care to make out a check, make it to Lamar's Bible Church and just note that it's for Grace University. You can put that in there as well. Let's welcome this morning the a cappella quintet from Grace University, shall we?
Grace University a cappella vocal quintet, or GU a cappella, or GUA cappella, whatever you want to call us, is quite all right. My name is Aaron Jordan, and I'm from Plattsmouth, Nebraska. I'm a music and Bible major at Grace. This is my third year doing that. So it's nice to meet you. Our first song is taken from the book of Philippians, and it's called Rejoice.
Rejoice, joyless Lord, Lord, awake again. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord, Lord, awake again.
I'm studying Bible and music. I'm from a tiny little town called Bancroft, Nebraska. This next song that we're going to do is kind of special to us because it was the first song that we ever sang together. Our group formed just a little over a year ago, and just five people wanted to get together and share our vocal talents for the Lord. And so this is the first song that we ever sang. So it's a little simple, but it has a really powerful message, and it's called Open My Heart.
Open my heart to what you know, so I can stretch, so I can grow. My feelings toss me to and fro. Open my heart to what you know. Open my eyes to what you see. To understand. feelings get the best of me. Open my eyes to what you see. Open my ears to what you hear.
To what you hear.
So I can keep your reign.
From Plattsmouth, Nebraska. Aaron and I have been friends ever since the fourth grade, so it's cool to be in a group with him and being at the same college. That's fun. I am in the Associate of Bible program at Grace. It's a two-year program, and I am finishing up in this May. I'll be graduating. This next song is a little different. I'm not sure if you'll like it. I don't know how many of you like rap. Do any of you? Well, I don't like rap, and in this next song, we will not be rapping. This is actually it's an a cappella arrangement of a song by a band that the five of us really like. The band is called Switchfoot. Hopefully, some of you may have heard of them. The song is called Only Hope.
There's a song that's inside of my soul. It's the one that I've tried to write over and over again. I'm awake in the infinite cold, but you sing to me over and over and over again. So I lay my head back down, and I lift my hands and pray. Yours I pray, to be only yours I know now, you're my only hope. Sing to me of the song of the stars, of your galaxy dancing and laughing again. When it feels like my dreams are so far, sing to me of the plans that you have for me over again. So I lay my head I lift my hands and pray, to be only yours I pray, to be only yours I know now, you're my only hope.
apathy. I'm giving you all of me. I want your symphony singing in all that I am. At the top of my lungs, I'm giving it back, and I lay my head back down, and I lift my hands and pray to be only yours. I pray to be only yours. I pray to be only yours. I know now you're my only hope.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to us. Hi, my name is Amber. I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so I'm far from home. It's really warm at home right now. It doesn't keep changing, the weather at home. Anyway, I'm a sophomore / junior at Grace. I'll be there another 3 years, so I guess I'm kind of a sophomore. And I'm a music and Bible major. Anyway, this next song is kind of special to me because it's the first song that I ever arranged by myself. I arranged it after a summer that I spent in Romania as a missionary. There was a group there that was singing for us, and it was kind of like this, like we were at a church service and they were singing. And they sang this song in Romanian, obviously, and it was a minor key, and I didn't know what it was. It was really pretty. And then they sang it in English with the same tune, and it was actually their version of Amazing Grace. And it kind of hit me then, you know, God's not an American God, and he's not a Romanian God. He is a God over all of us. And so I came back and arranged this song for us to sing, and I hope that y'all enjoy it.
Mare. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. My name's Sarah Jones, and I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm a... Is that for yourself? Somebody from Lincoln? All right. I grew up in Lincoln, lived there all my life, except now, live in Omaha. But I've been at Grace for 2 years, and I'm also going to be graduating this May, same as Robbie, in the Associates in Bible program. So technically at Grace, I'm a senior, but I don't usually say that because that sounds really weird because I've only been in school for 2 years. So I'm going to graduate with my Associate's degree at Grace, and then I'm planning to go on to the university in Lincoln next fall, and I'm still working on figuring out what I want to do. So I've got some stuff to finish up there, so we'll see. It's going to be an interesting switch. But I just wanted to take a few minutes to tell you a little bit about Grace. Sounds like a lot of you probably know about Grace already or are pretty familiar with it. But I just thought I'd let you know a little bit about where we're coming from, for any of you who don't know. Grace is a fully accredited four-year university. Not everybody gets two-year degrees like us. Grace focuses education around three core values. Those are academic excellence, life impact, and life change and global world impact. Got those two mixed up. Grace is just the one thing, academic excellence. If you noticed when Aaron and Bree were introducing themselves, everyone at Grace gets a double major. Everyone gets a major in Bible and their professional area of study. So that's kind of cool. And another neat thing, at least for me, coming from kind of a big public high school and now getting ready to make the switch to the university in Lincoln, Grace has really small classes, and so you just really get to know everybody really well and get to know your professors really well, so that's neat. Grace also just encourages life change, not just in the classroom, but outside of it. One thing Grace requires all the students to do is have what we call servant leadership training. Everyone is required to do at least 3 hours worth of some kind of ministry during the week. So people will do anything from working with youth groups to doing maybe music for a church or working with a group like Young Life or Campus Crusade for Christ. There's all kinds of opportunities. So that's just a neat way to get kids outside of the little Grace community into the community around Omaha. They not only get kids out into the community around Omaha, they also encourage more of a world impact. Grace has some great opportunities for mission trips. So we had a team get back from the Ukraine over Christmas. Another team went to Costa Rica over spring break, and we've got some people that are getting ready to go to Mexico and Kenya, I think, for 6 months over the summer and next school year. So there's just lots of neat opportunities like that. A couple other kind of exciting things that are happening is we are getting a gym. That's been in the making for, I don't know how many years, a long time, 60 years. They've been wanting to do this for a long time, but it's just never happened. And we finally are getting a gym, and it's going to be ready for next fall students. So Robbie and I are going to miss out. But it's going to be really nice. It's been fun to see that going up. Grace has just been a lot of fun for me. I don't think I'm going to miss it a lot after being there for 2 years. Just a great time to grow and be able to just focus on my relationship with God. And one thing that I've kind of learned is that sometimes, even though it might sound kind of funny, being at a Christian college can be one of the hardest places to grow spiritually, just because you're surrounded by it all the time in the classroom and in chapels, and it's easy to let all that stuff substitute for your own personal walk with God. But you can't ever substitute for that. It's so important to have that daily time with God every day. So that's something important I learned, and I've just it's been a really good growing experience for me in the last 2 years, just being able to study the Bible and focus on that for 2 years, and just on my own personal walk with Christ. And I'm excited now to go back to Lincoln and be at the university and just apply some of these things I've learned. It'll be a challenge, but I'm excited for it. So some of you received, when you walked in, a little form that says, tell us about yourself. I think a lot of you we missed, or we didn't catch you before you came in. But that's just so we can find out a little bit about you. If anybody's interested in information about Grace or receiving our newsletter or anything like that, you can fill that out and just drop it off at our table back there. We've got a display back there with some information, too, that you can come and just take if you're interested. Or we'll be back there after service and just would love to talk to anybody who'd like to come talk to us. So thanks a lot for having us here. We were actually here last year last year, right? Yeah, we had a, when some of us were in the women's choir, we were here. So it's kind of fun to be back. Thanks for having us. This next song we're going to do is actually the very first one we did, because it was before we even added the guys to our group. We started out just with the three of us girls. So this is just a pretty simple arrangement of a familiar hymn, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and now alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, for me, let me hide myself in thee. This
next song should be pretty familiar. It's called Shut the Door, which is shut the door for the layman.
Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut it up, keep out the devil. Shut it up, keep the devil in the night. Shut it up, keep out the devil. Light a candle, everything's alright. Light a candle, everything's alright.
Oh, when I was a baby child.
Shut it up, keep out the devil.
Good and bad was just a game.
Shut it up, keep the devil in the night.
But many years and many trials.
Shut it up, keep out the devil.
They prove to me they're not the same.
Shut it out, keep the devil in the night. Shut it out, keep out the devil. Shut it out, keep the devil in the night. Shut it out, keep out the devil. Light a candle, everything's alright. Light a candle, everything's alright.
Oh, Satan is an evil charmer.
Shut it out, keep out the devil.
He's hungry for a soul to hurt.
Shut it out, keep the devil in the night.
And without your holy armor.
Shut it out, keep out the devil.
He will eat you for dessert.
Shut it out, keep the devil in the night. Shut it out, keep out the devil. Shut it out, keep the devil in the night. Shut it out, keep out the devil. Light a candle, everything's all right. Light a candle, everything's alright. Said, hey, shut the door. Hey, shut the door. Hey, hey, you better shut the door. Say a prayer, you'll be back no more. Say a prayer, you'll be back no more.
My mama used to sing this song.
Shut the door, keep out the devil.
My daddy used to sing it too.
Shut the door, keep the devil in the night.
But Jesus called and took them home.
Shut the door, keep out the devil.
So now I sing for you.
Shut shut it out, keep the devil in the night, shut it out, keep out the devil, shut it out, keep the devil in the night, shut it out, keep out the devil, light a candle, everything's alright. Light a candle, everything's alright.
You better
shut it out, keep out the devil. Shut it out, keep the devil in the night. Shut it out, keep out the devil. Light a candle, everything's alright. Light a candle, everything's alright. Light a candle, everything's alright. Light a candle, everything's
Thank you. We have one more song for you. It's a little slower just to calm us down a little. But just following the Easter season here, we're going to sing Were You There?
Thank you very much for coming and singing for us today. What a wonderful thing. I'm looking forward to second service. It's all right. Will you grab your Bibles with me and turn to Revelation chapter 3? Let's all stand for the reading of Scripture. Revelation chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 14 through 22. Revelation 3:14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You may be seated.
Thank you, students. That was wonderful. My heart was encouraged. How about you? Amen. Father, we thank you for the gift of music. And Lord, as we've heard some of the wonderful music this morning and the music of the Easter season, and Lord, here again, Christianity is unique. We have a living Savior. We have a reality to sing about and a Holy Spirit that fills our heart, bubbles over in songs that are joyful and real and praise a living Savior. We thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to it now and know that you're going to speak to our hearts through it. And so, Lord, we don't simply want to be hearers this morning, but to be doers. So, Lord, apply the heart, apply the word to our hearts, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our son, David, is a practical joker. And one of the things he did one time was at a friend's house. Some of them were gathered there, and there was a can of Coca-Cola unopened in the fridge, and he took that, and while no one was watching, he put a couple pinholes in the bottom of it somehow, and then he poured out a little bit, and then he put vinegar through those holes, and he put some Tabasco sauce, and I don't know what else he put in that Coca-Cola, and then he put a piece of tape over the bottom of it and put it back in the refrigerator. Well, the next day, the owner went to get a drink and popped the top and took a drink, and it was horrible. And I wasn't there to see the response, but Merle, that was horrible, wasn't it? I think Merle remembers that. But to come and expect something refreshing, to come and expect something useful, and to find it rather to be something that gags you and makes you sick, that's not a good thing. That's what Jesus found when he looked at the church of Laodicea. It's an amazing story, and it's his strongest rebuke for the seven churches in Asia, seven literal churches that existed in the first century. And this church at Laodicea that actually brought disgust to our Lord. As I said, it's the seven seventh church. We're concluding our series here as we get through the churches, and we'll go on now through the rest of the book of the Revelation, Lord willing, in the weeks to come. But Laodicea was a wealthy city. It was prosperous. It was famous for three things. It was a banking center. It was a center of banking and finance. And it was wealthy because of that. Secondly, it was a center for the textile industry. Laodicea was famous for a black wool, a glossy black wool that they produced there. And it was made into garments, and the garments were in demand. It was exported throughout the world at that time. And thirdly, Laodicea was famous for a school of medicine that was there. And they had developed an eye salve from some powder that they were able to get in the area. And this eye salve was known for its curative properties for eye diseases. And these things combined to make Laodicea wealthy and prosperous. And many of the citizens were wealthy. So wealthy that after a great earthquake there in Laodicea, which destroyed the city, the Laodiceans rebuilt the city themselves rather than receiving help from the Roman government, which would have been available. We're not sure. Historians are not sure if the Laodiceans said, no thanks, we'll do it ourselves, or if the government just realized, you know, they've got enough money to do it themselves. In either case, it was because of their wealth that they didn't get the help from the government that normally would have been there. You see, they had no need for it. They were rich and increased with goods. One thing they lacked, one thing the city lacked, one thing the city depended on from the outside was water. Water. And so the water had to be brought in from outlying cities through an aqueduct system. From one direction, the water came from hot springs from the city of Hierapolis, where there were hot mineral springs. And by the time it came through the aqueduct to Laodicea, that hot water had cooled down. It was a lukewarm temperature. Another brought it from Colossae, where there was a cool source of water. And by the time it traveled through the aqueduct, it had warmed up to the environment, and it too was lukewarm. So for all of its wealth, it had poor water. And Jesus here brings a strong, a harsh, if you will, message of rebuke, of condemnation to this church located in this wealthy city. The church had taken on the characteristics of its surroundings. It was lukewarm. Notice, first of all, the description of the Lord in verse 14. The description of the Lord. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write. And Jesus Christ is speaking. And he describes himself in three ways. The Amen. This is the only time this is used of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus says, I am the Amen. The Amen is speaking. Amen is a Hebrew word. And it's transliterated here into the Greek and then into the English. Amen. It means what is unchangeable. It means what is true, what is certain. When we say Amen, I found myself saying Amen this morning as the quintet was singing. Amen, that means it is true. It is true. That's right. That's true. Amen. Jesus Christ is God's Amen. He is the punctuation, if you will. He is the response to all of God's promises. He is the certainty of God's promise, of God's word. He is the Amen. It is true. It's all summed up in Him. All of God's promises are fulfilled and guaranteed in Christ. He is the Amen. The promise of salvation, the promise and the truth of eternal life, it's all in Him. He is the Amen. So be it. It is certain because it is in Him. Second, He's the faithful and true witness. Everything He speaks is true. He's completely trustworthy. He's the way and the truth and the life. He's the faithful and true witness. You can bank on it. What He says is true. He cannot lie. And thirdly, He's the beginning of the creation of God. Some cults have taken that, and it could be misleading, but they've said, well, look at that. It says that Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. He's a created being. And we know from Scripture, Jesus Christ is not a created being. He created all things. And this word here, the beginning, also means the origin. He's the source of creation. He's the originator of God's creation. He's the one who's behind it all. We know from John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, that He is the creator of all things. If you have the NIV text, it says He is the ruler of God's creation. Because this word here, translated beginning in my text, means the leading one. The ruler, the foremost one, the preeminent one. So there's the description of the Lord who is speaking. What He says is authoritative, it's powerful, it's truth. And then secondly, we see the disgust of the Lord for this church, verses 15 to 17. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. This church, the Lord has no word of commendation for that He did for at least five of the seven churches. There's no word here of commendation, no word of affirmation, nothing positive about this church. And it's a rebuke that is the most scathing of the seven churches that they received from the Lord. It was a church that was nauseating to Christ. It was disgusting to Him. It grieved His heart. He said, you're neither cold nor hot. You're somewhere in between. You're lukewarm. You're like the water supply that comes into this city. You're not hot from the hot springs. It's cooled down. You're not cool from the refreshing springs of Colossae. It's warmed up to its environment. You're just lukewarm. You're useless to me. And it made Christ sick. It says there, because you are lukewarm, verse 16, and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's really a pretty bland expression. The word literally means I will vomit you out of my mouth. In fact, for those of you that are nurses or you've studied in nurses training or maybe you've been in the hospital and when they bring you what's called the emesis basin, we get the word emesis from this word here, I will spit you out. Emesis means, well, let me not go into it, but that's what that basin is for when you're sick to your stomach in the hospital. And Jesus says, I will, because you're lukewarm, I will spit you, I will vomit you out of my mouth. We don't expect the Lord to talk like that. But He says to the church these graphic and strong words. What does it mean when Jesus says, you are neither cold nor hot? You're not hot or cold. You're lukewarm. Well, something that is hot, and the word here literally means boiling. It's the Greek word zestos, boiling. It means something that's fervent in the literal, in the figurative sense. Someone who is fervent, who is zealous for God, who is on fire for God. Jesus says, you're not hot. You're just lukewarm. You've lost your fervor. You've lost your zest. You're bland. Last Sunday evening, Pastor Ken shared from his heart on Easter Sunday evening from Luke 24 about those two who walked with Jesus on Easter Sunday evening. And as Christ shared the word with them, and then when He disappeared, they said, were not our hearts burning within us? Same word. Were not our hearts burning as He shared the word? And they ran to tell the others that they had been with the Lord. You're not hot, Jesus said. He says, you're not cold. That's the other end of the spectrum. To be cold is to have no interest in Christ. It's to reject the gospel. It's even to be openly hostile to the gospel. It's characteristic of the unsaved many times. They're openly hostile to the gospel. And Jesus says, you're not cold. You're somewhere in between. You're neither hot or cold. And that leads us to the question, were the people in this church, were they lost or were they saved? Some Bible scholars say that this church was totally apostate because of the strong words of Jesus. He said, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. You're disgusting to me. You're lukewarm. And some say there were no believers in this church. Others say that this church, they were true Christians. They were just so very backslidden that Christ was so disgusted with them. Well, I believe the truth is there were both in the church. There were those who were lost. There were those who were saved. But the church had taken on a lukewarm element. In fact, as far as the mixed group among them, look back in chapter 3, a few verses, and verse 4. And we saw previously the church at Sardis. And Jesus said there at the church in Sardis, you have a few people who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And there was a faithful remnant of believers in the church at Sardis, this church that had a reputation of being alive, but Jesus said, you're dead. But there was still a believing remnant in the church, and it was a mixed multitude, and I believe that was the case here at Laodicea. You had people at Laodicea who were saved, who truly knew the Lord, and Jesus is going to call them to repentance. But they had cooled off in their zeal for Christ. They had taken on the temperature of their surroundings. They were lukewarm. Like that hot mineral water, hot when it began, but by the time it got to the city through the aqueduct, just cooled down to lukewarmness. But you had others in the church, not openly hostile to Christ, not